Praise God. Well, it's just an honor to be here. I would like to just continue another three or four days, you know. That would be fine with me. I'm not sure that we would kill you, but, you know, that's okay. But we're just honored to have all of you. I want to just thank you that you know, I can't believe it. Someone would show up to hear us, you know. But you didn't come to hear us. You came to hear from God. And I'm just so glad. How many were blessed this week? Come on. You know, this is going to be a little bit different service. You know, you're going to have to pray for me because most of my services are 3 or 4 hours long. So you're going to have to pray for me because the biggest sign and wonder is we're going to be done by about 10:15. That's going to be a sign and a wonder. You know, but we're just so excited. I want to thank, can we give honor to what honor's due to Pastor Ko and his beautiful wife, Sharon? Their vision, you know, we've got to spend time with them yesterday at lunch and just hearing his heart. And I want to say something to you. I have never seen a superintendent dance at the altar. I like being around a superintendent that dances at the altar. But not only that, but he has a real love. He's a real shepherd. A real love for the churches and you and the pastors. And it just oozes out of him after being with him just a couple of minutes. It just comes out of him wanting to see your success, wanting to see you fulfill all that God has for you. And we're just so honored to have him as our leader. And I am just so honored that he would invite us to be a part of this and a part of what God's doing here in the islands. We need to give a hand to Janet for all that she's doing. And Sister Magumi. And Magumi, come on. Our sound folks in the back, and I've given them a hard time all week. Felt so bad. And of course, how many have enjoyed the worship? Has it been off the charts or what? Absolutely amazing. Every year, my wife and I spend a week in International House of Prayer in Kansas City with Mike Bickle, and they have 24/7, 7 days a week prayer. We go there, just fast and pray for 5 days, and I felt like I was in IHOP this morning, you know. I said, I'm in Kansas City. No, I'm not, but it sure felt like it, you know. So I can't wait till we have a 24/7 prayer and worship right here in Oahu. Come on. I'm prophesying that. Come on. You know, rather than people coming to Hawaii just to for tourism, they come to spend time in the presence of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But we're just so honored to be here. I'm going to hand the mic over to my beautiful wife, Milan. How many have enjoyed my wife? I'm just going to say this. I mean, she's full Polynesian. And I don't mess with her, you know. I just love her so much. And so, you know, for those of you, how many are not married? How many are not married? Raise your hand really high. Well, let me give you some advice to what not to do. See, Meliana and I met in Lahaina and over in Maui. And we met on a blind date. 1 month later, we got married. Yeah. Don't do it. Don't do it. Yeah. But, oh boy, you know, the first couple years, all we did was fight, you know. So we got all the fighting done, all the fighting out the first 2 years. She won, I lost. And so now we're fine, you know. So. But it's been a wonderful journey, and just to seeing, you know, the amazing thing when I sit here and she comes up and shares. When we first got married, neither one of us spoke English. You know, because I'm you know, part hillbilly, and so. And she's Tongan, and so can you imagine trying to communicate? So, but we learned how to communicate, And so we never knew that the Lord would call us, you know, and to travel all over the world and impact the world. And just pray for us. I have a conference to do that actually starts tonight. I won't be there. We've got another prophet opening up. We have a conference to do this weekend in Boise. Then next week, another conference to do in Iowa. And so just pray for us and as in our travels that the United States will be impacted by the power of the word and prophetic. And so we need revival in our country and around the world. So give Meliana a hand as she comes.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Again, I just want to encourage you, for those of you that have been married for a long time, we've been married 35 years this year. And like what he said, we met on a blind date after 1 month we got married. And in order for you to stay that longevity, just stay blind, okay? People ask me, how did you guys made it all these years? I said, I just choose to just stay blind. Praise God. You can do that for the ministry also, okay? That way you'll never see what the devil is doing, okay? You have just one eye. That's for him. Amen? Praise God. I just want to say thank you so much. It's been such a joy, such a privilege for us. Yes, we got the privilege to travel all over this country and the world. But I tell you what, there is nothing compared to coming home. There is nothing compared to coming home. We have such a love, such a joy, because this is where we grew up spiritually, in Maui, Dr. Morocco, and then being here. And I tell you what, it has been such a joy, such a privilege. And we love your superintendent and his beautiful wife. We love you guys. John is right. I mean, one thing we know about them, we saw about them, the love of God. I mean, how much they love God. Not only love God, but they love the people. Amen. Love you, not on you, but loving the state. And I believe that is God's heart for all of us. Because I notice, I think Mike Pico said these things, lovers will always outwork workers. That's it. Huh? Lovers will always outwork workers. I think my mind, he going to say it right.
Lovers will always outlast workers.
I like the way I say it. That doesn't connect with the way I think. Outlast. But anyway, and I know why he got that word, and I believe my advice to you, and the last word that I want to leave with you, please get to love God more than anything else. Amen? Because I know that God have handpicked you. Song of Solomon, I believe, that's why we work on this book first, Song of the Prophet, because our desire is to help people get to really know him and fall in love with him. Because when you know him, you know that he chose you. There's a scripture in Song of Solomon, he said, I liken you to a mare that pulled Pharaoh's chariot. In other words, God have handpicked the strongest, toughest people. Amen? And that is you. That means you have to look at yourself. God, you have saw me as a mighty person, mighty man and woman of God. Why? For this one reason, so I can carry your presence. Amen. And you have to look at yourself. God, thank you for this privilege. Thank you for this opportunity that you have called me to do. That means whatever crisis that pile up on you, whatever ministry that pile up on you to carry, you can carry it. Because God sees you. She can carry it. Whatever problem, whatever crisis that come her ways, she loved me so much, and she'll be able to pull every crisis, pull every ministry, pull whatever comes her way or his way, she can be able to do it. Amen? Praise God. And also, when we do that, again, when we love God, like what I said, lovers will always outlast workers. Is that what you said? John? So anyway, There is later on in that story, Song of Solomon chapter 5, I believe verse 5 to 6, it talk about that this young lady got beat up. Her pursuit of God, her pursuit of King Solomon. King Solomon represented Christ, but her represented us, the body of Christ. Out of her pursuing him, she got beat up. As we travel, we heard so many people came and said, oh, I quit the ministry. I got beat up by the board members, or got beat up by the church, or got beat up by the leaders. And they found her, the scripture said, they found her all wounded, beat up, lay there by the roadside, ready to die. And when they found her, I love what she said. She didn't say nothing about what happened to her in the ministry. She didn't say nothing because about the scripture said that those that are watching the wall, they were the one that beat her up. And they said when they found her, she didn't say nothing. They can see all the bleeding on her body, all the bruises in her body. But she said one thing that got my attention. This is what she said. If you find the one that my heart loved, please tell him that I'm lovesick. She never said nothing. You can see I've been beat up in the ministry. You know, you can see I've been hurt. You can see the people have rejected me. You can see it all. But I love what she said. She never say nothing about the crisis in a ministry. She never say nothing about it. Why? Because her heart is so consumed with loving him. If you find the one that my heart loves, tell him that I'm lovesick. In other words, you can beat me up. You can do all this to me. You can strip my ministry away. You can strip my growth, my cloak away. You can take all that. But that's not why. That is not why I'm in a ministry. That is not why I'm here. That is not why I'm doing what I'm doing. That is not why I'm traveling like crazy. Like, I mean, honey, can we have a day to rest? We have to do a conference. We have to fly someone from Florida to go open the conference for us starting tonight. And to speak tonight and tomorrow morning. And we arrive tomorrow morning and speak tomorrow night. Why you do that? For him alone, because I love him so much. I love him so much. I am pursuing him with whatever I'm going through, because I know whatever I'm going through, he will take care of that. He will take care of the cry in my heart. He will take care of my family. Listen, I can go have crisis in the ministry, but don't touch my family. When I have crisis with my children and my grandchildren, it's like it whip my heart. That's why I pursue him with everything I have, because I know he will take care what I can't take care. Amen? That is my desire. Please pursue him. Love him with everything that you have, because when you love him, nothing can hurt you. Nothing can wound you. Nothing. Whatever the wound, whatever the crisis you may face, it will just empower you to pursue him with everything you have. Amen? And guess what happened? I remember we were in Idaho. No, we were in California this year, ministering in Southern California. And I remember when I stepped down last night, this lady walked up to me and she said, "Hi, do you remember me?" I look at her, "Oh, Lord, please help me." And you see hundreds of people, sometimes thousands a week. How can you remember everybody? And I finally look at her and I said, "Ma'am, please, no, can you help me?" And she said, oh, by the way, when she pulled out her phone and she was telling me a testimony, she said, you and your husband were here last year ministering at this church. You were here from, I believe it was Sunday to Wednesday. And last night, my two sons came to the hospital and picked me up because I was in a hospital for 2 months, had all kind of infections in my body, it's in my stomach, and nothing the doctor can do. And I was just laying there ready to die. But my two sons, teenagers, came to the hospital and picked me up from the hospital and brought me to one of your service on the last night, was Wednesday night. And you and your husband pray and prophesy over me. And while she was telling me the story, I just could not remember. Finally, she pulled out her phone. She pulled out her phone and showed me a video. Someone took a video of us praying and prophesy over her. And then I wanted to see if you guys can show that picture, the first picture. All kind of, look at her. All kind of, that's when she pulled out her phone and showed me the video. I said, hold on, let me take a screenshot of this. You can see her two teenagers standing right there. John standing right there. Look at her stomach all swell out. You know, and it was all kind of infection, ready to die. And then she said, but you guys prayed and prophesied over me. And God touched me and healed me that night. This is what I'm trying to get to you. When we love him, spend time with him, when we see a crisis, whatever God bring into your path, God will give you the strength to prophesy and speak life, whatever is in front of you. Amen. And this is what I know also. We didn't know what happened in those meetings that caused those two teenagers to go into the hospital and brought their mother into the service. We had no idea. That's why I'm a firm believer. Let the presence of God dwell in our midst, because you may never know what God gonna do. Look, there is two teenagers. They went to the hospital, brought their mother into the service on Wednesday night. And I said, I tell you what, I stood there, I was shocked. I mean, how can I be shocked? That's God, right? And I was just amazed. And she stood there and kept thanking me. Thank you, thank you, thank you for praying over me and prophesying over me. And we're almost uncomfortable. And I said, wait. Where's the two teenagers? And she said, they're right here. And I said, bring them. And I look at them and I said, listen, it has nothing to do with us. All we did was just prophesy and decree and pray over your body. It was your two teenagers that have the faith that went to the hospital and brought you out from the hospital and brought you here, and we pray over you. And God reminded me the story when the four guys went and picked up the paralyzed man, tried to bring him in because all the church was so packed. But then they made a hole and lowered the paralyzed man. And before he healed the man, he looked up at the four guys and he said, because of your faith, I am going to heal this man. And I want to encourage you, God is looking for people that are so in love with him, because when we love him, we will do anything. We will pick up the paralyzed. We will drag the hurt, the broken, into the presence of God and let God do the rest. Amen? I tell you what, I was so blessed, and I said, okay, thank you. Let me take a picture of you and me now so we can see what the Lord have done. So another picture of her right now. Look at her right now. Isn't God good? And that was this year. Again, I'll leave you with that this morning. Please love God with everything you have. Amen. Give Jesus a big hand clap. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God.
I am moved. Not that anything we did But what kind of atmosphere was there in the church that two teenagers would get up in the middle of the service, go to the hospital and check out their mother, and then bring them to church? I pray that our generation would get up in the middle of our services. Come on. Go to the hospital, check out family members, bring them to the house of God because they know that God can heal. Come on, church, give God a praise for that. Love that story. It's a miracle. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to do something very, very different than I've done. I preached to you. I shouted at you. I've yelled at you. But this morning I'm going to do something that is on my heart. Is when I woke up this morning, I began to weep simply because how many have ever had an encounter with God? I can tell you that there was a series of events that have taken place over the last 35 years since I got born again. Some significant days and hours. I can bring you back to that place. But I love what Meliana said, because if we're not lovesick, then we will not last in the ministry. The wounds of the ministry, the wounds of life. I know Song of Solomon by heart. I've written a commentary by it, out of it, a devotional. I know it by heart. And the reason why I devoted several years of studying that book is simply because I was burning for the message. Because I grew up in a home where my parents divorced. I grew up in a home when I didn't have a relationship with my father. But you know what? When I read Song of Solomon, what began to happen is I knew how God felt about me. Because our world thinks love is compatibility instead of commitment. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But see, there's this God that is so committed to you and I. And that's why I want to saturate myself in a message of the love of God, because and I understand, church, that there's abuses in all kinds of areas where, and I never want to sweep sin under the rug, but I'm going to tell you something right now. It's only the love of God that can redeem humanity. And what we need is a baptism of the love of God. And so I've also written a book on how to develop a prophetic culture, which I'm going to address right now. Because I think that what God wants to impart in this last session, this is what I believe, that God wants to impart the heart of a prophet. Because he wants to have every minister in here, every leader in here, to have the heart of the prophet. Because the heart of the prophet has the heart of the Father. Come on, you know what I'm saying? Because you can't be a prophet and not love God and love his people. Come on, and love justice. And because sin is so evil, so wrong, that it's the opposite of the love of God. And when people say, well, you know, I'm struggling with sin, the answer is you got to fall in love with Jesus. Yeah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is the cure to sin. Come on. Amen. And so I'm going to discuss something that I haven't discussed in a long time, but I know it burned in me. On February 12th, 2006, it was a Sunday. I was in the island of Kauai. I was preaching for probably one of my favorite pastors. His altar call is on another level. His name is Pastor Daniel Bracken. He pastors in Alaska right now. I love him so much. He's a great man of God, great prophet. I was preaching for him in LA that morning on February 12, 2006. He was there in Kauai at that time. I'll never forget the day. At 4 o'clock in the morning, I wake up. I was staying at one of the a house that they put me in, of one of the members of the church. They had a private room and everything. And when I woke up, the lights were on. And how many know that if you're going to have the heart of the prophet, you're going to have to go through certain things? Because we're going to have to feel the emotion of God. Because sometimes what we need to know is we need to know how God feels. But he allows you to experience things so you could feel what he feels. Come on. And see what he sees and experience what he sees, because then you will see people through his eyes. And many of you are great students of the word, so I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I want to encourage you. There, the most beautiful, beautiful story of the love of God in the Old Testament is the first three chapters of the book of Hosea. It is God's love for Israel and God's love for his people, even in the midst of the wickedness, in the midst of their sin. Are you hearing me? And there hasn't been a year in my entire Christianity that I haven't gone back to that. And I just can't leave that, because you can never leave the heart of the Father. And so it's not that God was agreeing with Israel's sin, but what he was agreeing with was his covenant. Are you hearing me? His covenant to redeem a people. And because I know this story so well, what God speaks to the prophet and says, basically, you know what? I want you to go and marry a prostitute. That's what he says. Now, I'm sure that was not in his dream. Come on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because, you know, now, you know what? That's going to cause some controversy. Because a lot of people want the power of God, but they don't want controversy. They want to redeem people, but they want to do it without controversy. And so what he does is he obeys God, even though it's going to break his heart. And there's a few different interpretations, but after reading it over and over again several times, I believe that this particular thing is that Gomer keeps going in and out of the relationship. Just as Israel, one time they were with them, the next time they leave. And they're constantly going into idolatry. With Gomer, she's constantly going back to adultery. And then not only that, but she has children in adultery. And then has Hosea raise them. Come on. Now, can you imagine what, just on the emotional level, what the prophet is going through? Because nobody in this room likes betrayal. Nobody in this room likes abandonment. And here's the thing that I believe we have to get over. We have to get over as leaders. We have to get over the betrayal and the abandonment. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We can't let the betrayal and the abandonment of what people do or don't do determine what we're going to do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because listen, I love you, but I love God more. Oh, come on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But see, you know why we can't get over abandonment and betrayal is because people don't meet our expectation. You didn't do what I expected you to do. You didn't fulfill your end of the bargain. After I have poured out and poured out and poured out and invested into you, and you betray me, that's a wound. And you know what's a deeper wound? When someone does that, that's above you. Yes. Let me just tell you, you have to conquer that. And the only way you can conquer that is a revelation of the love of God. That's the only way. Because otherwise, their betrayal and abandonment will bombard your mind. If you find the one my heart loves, tell him I'm lovesick. February 12th, 2006. 4 o'clock in the morning. Lights are on. My room, I'm shocked. I didn't leave the lights on. I get up. I'm going to have you turn to the verse, turn to chapter 3 of Hosea. We're going to look at one verse. I want to read another verse as well a little bit later. But at that time in 2006, I didn't know what an iPad was. I had a Bible. And so I had a New King James Bible about that thick that I hauled around. I'm thankful for my iPad. But the book, my Bible, was opened to Hosea chapter 3, verse 1. And this is what it says. Then the Lord said to me, go again and love a woman who is loved by a lover. And this is what hit me. And is committing adultery. Everybody say, and is committing adultery. So that means that she's in the very act. When I read that, that word is began to leap out of the pages. And all of a sudden, Pastor John, it was as if a movie screen opened up like these flat screen TVs in my bedroom. And all of a sudden, I could see Hosea, the prophet, running through the streets of Samaria, crying out, Gomer, Gomer, where are you? Because there is this God who's running through the streets of Honolulu. Come on. Running through the streets of your city, of Hilo, running through the streets, looking for people. Come on, are you hearing what I'm saying? Where are you? Where are you? This is not your destiny. This is not what I've assigned for you. And I can see it like a movie screen, as clear as day. And that was 13 years ago. And he is running with him. And he is in like the nice part of town. He's in the upscale and he doesn't see her. And then he keeps running. He goes to a different part of town. He's crying out, Gomer, because he's on a pursuit of finding her. Let me just tell you, church, right now, even though the condition of the church may not be right, there's a Father that is pursuing the church. There is a God that's pursuing the church. Come on. And I have to tell you, I don't read the bad news Bible. I read the good news Bible. And a lot of times, sometimes what can happen, and I find this in conversation, that we begin to talk about the bad news more than we do the good news. The good news is that God is pursuing people. He's on a pursuit. The prophet was on a pursuit. I'm going to find Gomer. I'm going to find her. And in this vision, as he is running, he keeps running, crying out her name, Gomer, Gomer, where are you? And finally, he gets to a part of Samaria in my vision that the Lord showed me. He gets to the worst part of the city. It stinks. There's filth everywhere. He gets there, and all of a sudden, because when you're in that dream state, it seems like words of knowledge, you just know. There's a knowing. And all of a sudden, as I'm watching this, the prophet stops and he knows that his wife is in this particular house. He knows that he's there. And he goes in there. He goes in the house. And when he goes into the house, it's a one-bedroom house. It's very filthy. He sits down in the living room. The door of the bedroom is closed. And he knows that his wife and that lover are actually in the act of adultery. But this is what hit me. Hosea just sits there and waits till they're done. And all of a sudden, I begin to cry. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, John, that's me. I'm waiting in the living room for my people. And when they're done, I'm ready to buy them back. Now, church, I want to tell you something right now. When they came out, there was no anger on Hosea's face. There was no, I'm going to beat you up, bro. There was nothing on his face. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to make you pay for what you've done to my heart. There was none of that. When he came out, he turned to the man and he turned to Gomer and said, I want you. I want you. See, ladies and gentlemen, let me just tell you, sometimes we don't realize how much God wants us and how much he wants people. And when we get a revelation of how much God wants people, then guess what happens? There'll be a passion inside of you. Oh, God, give me your heart. Give me the right word at the right time. Give me the ability to forgive supernaturally. Give me the ability to love supernaturally. Give me the ability to forget supernaturally. Forget what I've been through. Forget the pain. Don't allow the pain to become the narrative, but allow your promise and about love of God to become the narrative. Can I hear an amen right now? Let me just tell you, Hawaii needs to be redeemed. These islands need to be redeemed. The homosexual needs to be redeemed. The drug addict needs to be redeemed. The pastors need to be redeemed. Churches need to be redeemed. Is there any? Oh, come on. See, that is why, ladies and gentlemen, legalism can never free people from sin. Legalism just makes people angry. And you know what? We have enough legalism in the church. And that is why Hosea is a key book to study and engulf in, because you know what? There's no legalism in the heart of the Father. Because what happened with the prodigal son? The elder son's legalism, that was his narrative. That was his narrative. That was his story. And when you walk in legalism, you can never deliver somebody. You can only prove how right you are and how wrong they are. God doesn't have to prove how right he is. He's already righteous. And so what happens is, he sees her, I see this, and he says, I want her back. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I shared that to tell you, I did not know that my wife was going to quote Song of Solomon. But I will tell you this. Listen to the heart of the Father. I'm going to read a word out of the Good News translation. Hosea chapter 11, verse 8. Says, how can I give you up, Israel? You know what happens? When people hurt us, it is so easy to give up on them. And let me just tell you, we need a measure of grace not to give up on people. Because when you give up on people, you'll eventually give up on a nation. You'll give up their calling. I'm not giving up on you. Because God didn't give up on me. And if we're going to have the heart of a prophet, we cannot give up on people that have issues. People that are struggling with life. We cannot give up. Because so many times, you know what, we say, oh yeah, you hurt me, you offended me, you did this, you did this, you did that, you didn't submit to me. You know what, I'm not giving up on you. Hear the heart of the prophet. How can I give you up? You know why? Because I don't see you. Because love doesn't look for something wrong. It expects the best, believes the best, thinks the best. That's why if you're going to have the heart of the prophet, when you see somebody, you're going to expect the best, believe the best, and in them. Are you hearing me? Not the worst. Because sometimes in the atmosphere of legalism, you don't expect the best. And there's been too many much legalism in the assembly of God to go around. It's about ready to change that right now and have the heart of the prophet. How can I give you? Meliana, that scripture, I began to weep when I read that today, this morning. I wanted to wake you up, but I wanted to have a nice day, so I let you sleep. How can I give you up, Israel? How can I abandon you? You commit adultery on me. Do you know? I found this out. That I can always find a scripture for my legalism. I can always find a scripture to justify my attitude too. But when you have a heart of the prophet, you look for a scripture to redeem people. You look for a reason to redeem. How can I abandon you? You know, can I tell you this? I got licensed by the Sanhedrin in 1997. I'm just kidding. Some of you got that. Some of you said, what are you talking about? You know, you got to understand, when you're prophetic and you walk into a room and they're going to interview you, they're all Pharisees. You know? I'm sorry. I've told some of you this story, but I'm going to say to this, all of you, so you all hear it. In 1997, when I went to Kauai and to go through my interview, I remember there was a bunch of people, they was all nervous, you know. I was thinking, why are you nervous? Aren't you called? That's what's going through my mind. If you're called, why are you nervous? So I walk in the interview, and they're all sitting around there staring at me. What are you looking at, bro? What are you trying to discern? You're the Pharisee. No. I never forget this. I was telling Brother Harris this morning, and I had a pair of jeans on with my slippers. An Aloha shirt that looked like you just put was all wadded up, you know, had it on, not ironed, nothing. I didn't know any better. I didn't know that the proper attire was a suit and tie. Pastor Ann never told me that. They walked in me and said, who's this character? And Brother Yasha Hart's first question was, do you own a suit and tie? I said, no, sir. He goes, I'll get you one. And he did. He did. I love you, man. And he brought me, he got me a tie, you know. And then they escorted me out. They're going to escort me out, you know. And then they say, they did their deliberation. The tribunal, you know, the tribunal. Yeah. And they call me back in. And Brother Yashara says, Brother Harkey. I said, yes, sir. What are you going to do if the Assemblies of God does not give you your credential? I stood up and I said, Brother Yashara, I'm going to use it as a testimony. Because the Assembly of God did not call me, God did. Let's see. Let me tell you something. Because God called me, I cannot abandon the Assembly of God. I may not like what things do. I may disagree with certain direction. I don't care. I cannot abandon you. Because the love of the Father. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because good people get messed up. Good people get legalistic. Good people get hurt. Good people beat me up. I got a lot of stories. Because, you know, you got to understand, when I first started, I thought everybody loved prophets. I thought that. I thought that everybody was like my church in Maui, you know. And then I started traveling. I realized, I thought every Assembly of God was like our church. I didn't even know we was Assembly of God. I just thought we were charismatic, Pentecostal, Word of Faith. That's all I thought, you know. But listen to this scripture. How can I give you up, Israel? How can I abandon you? Could I ever destroy you as I did Adma, or treat you as I did Zebulun? Listen to this. Good News Translation. My heart will not let me do it. My love for you is too strong. God does not confront to prove that he's right. He confronts to penetrate the conscience. Because, ladies and gentlemen, when we have a prophetic conscience, we think in terms of how I can redeem men and women. I think in terms of how I can pour the love of the Father in someone else. Because it's not how big my ministry is. It's not how influential I am. It's how accurate my heart is. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's the accuracy of my heart. And if my heart is not accurate, then I am not accurate. No matter how good I can prophesy, no matter how good I can preach, no matter how much miracles God have done, if the heart is not accurate at the heart level, come on, because we're not here to promote us. We're not here to promote our ideology. We're here to promote his heart. And when I promote the heart of the Father, oh, come on, then Gomers come out of adultery. Then a culture comes out of immorality. Then people get redeemed. Then I create an atmosphere in my church and in my ministry where people who are in sin have an opportunity to become redeemed. Not judged, but redeemed and set free by the power of the love of God. Can I hear an amen right now? Because what we need is we need Hosea prophets in Hawaii. Come on, are you hearing? That's the kind of prophets we need. My love for you is too strong. You know what happens when we get a revelation that his love is too strong for us? Our love becomes strong. I wish I had more time with you, but because I know Song of Solomon by heart, I'm just going to jump. Mainly, I'm actually quoted verse 8. Of chapter 5. But in chapter 5, verse 2, Jesus is knocking on our door. Everybody say this: behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him and him with me. You know what the problem is? We don't open the door. But here's the other problem. I can tell you this, because I've been married 35 years. If I close the door to my wife, she doesn't have to knock. She can come right in. The question I want to ask is how come the door is shut? If I really know Jesus, that means I need to be so close to Jesus where he doesn't have to knock anymore. So what happened? He knocks on the door of her heart. He says, my head is drenched with dew with the dampness of the night. Because it's not the Jesus with the new Cadillac. It's the Jesus that needs you. It's the Jesus of the Garden of Gethsemane who told Peter, James, and John, why don't you stay here with me? Come on. Say, stay here with me. Jesus did everything for the disciples. He walked on water. He called them. He did everything, Dennis. But there was only one part in the New Testament where he said, I need you right now. And God is saying to this body, to these leaders, I need you right now. I need you right now. I need you to get over the silliness. I need you to get over the legalism. And I need you right now. Come on, I need you now. I need you to stay with me now. Because I'm in the biggest battle of my life. I need you to stay with me. Right. The word Gethsemane means pressing. To be pressed. Because ladies and gentlemen, sometimes the anointing doesn't come unless we're pressed. The pressure is not supposed to bring you depression. It's supposed to bring the anointing out of you. Come on. And when I'm sorry, I don't want to sound unempathetic, but let me just tell you, the pressing should bring out a lovesick heart. The pressing should cause you to get up and run. Gomer, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? And if the pressing gets you depressed, you need to come to the altar and get prayed for. Stay here with me. And when he... What happens... Because there's a lot in this, and I don't have time to get in all of it. But when he comes back, what is the church's posture? They're asleep. That's their posture. How do you think God feels? I've done so much for you. And this one time that I need you, you're asleep. Because he said, will you not tarry with me 1 hour? How can you tarry 1 hour when your service is only an hour? Because Kevin knows, in the American culture, they know what it means to tarry. They'll tarry until you get filled. They'll tarry with you until you get healed. They'll tarry with you until you get delivered from pornography. Now, we tarry for 3 seconds and call that tarrying. That's bearing. We ain't tarrying, we're bearing. Come on, because you walk out of here the same way you came in. I don't want to flow like that. Well, you know what? Hey, I'll tarry even if I have to do a courtesy drop. Come on, are you hearing what I'm saying? Oh, I let it be real. Do a courtesy drop if that's what it takes for you to tarry. You got to understand, when I first went to Pastor Morocco's church back in 1984, I didn't know nothing about nothing. I was Presbyterian, and I only went to church on Easter and Christmas. I knew the Bible stories, but I didn't know him. So you got to understand, when they were meeting at the skating rink, and they invited this lady evangelist, and people was falling out, and they had mats, you know, those wrestling mats, you know, they put out so people fall on something nice, you know. So I saw the people falling down. I said, "Oh, that's what they do in this church." So she was 4 or 5 people long. I just went down myself. They sleep at church. That's wonderful. You know what I'm saying? Will you not tarry with me 1 hour? They were asleep when Jesus needed the most, them the most. Let me wrap this up. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 2, he knocks on the door. Let me in. Chapter 5, verse 3. This is why she became lovesick, Meliana. Chapter 3. This is what she said. I've washed my robe. I've got into bed. I'm in a place of comfortability. My ministry is comfortable. My life is comfortable. My situation is comfortable. I got a nice church. I got things going. I'm comfortable. And this is what she said. Do I have to get up and soil my feet once again? Do I have to get up and get my feet dirty again? I've already washed my feet. I've already preached my message. I've already done what I was supposed to do. Church, what you're supposed to do is answer the call. When comfortability becomes more important than your call, then we are worshipers of our comfort. Come on, are you hearing what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that we don't like comfortability. But guess who's knocking? Guess who's knocking? Who's knocking? And he's not knocking to make me comfortable. He's knocking because he wants me. He wants to be with me. He wants me to see a side of his heart, ladies and gentlemen, that I want to impart something to you, because there's no way you can be in the presence of God and have him not impart his character to you. And this is what she said. She says, do I have to get up now? Do I have to? I've already done my counseling. I've already been to the conference. Now, church, it's not that God doesn't want us to rest. Please don't. Don't misunderstand me. God wants us to rest. But let me just tell you, if we don't rest in Him, what are we resting in? She doesn't get up. But this is what I'm going to prophesy as I close right now. The NIV does the best translation on this next verse, 5 verse 4 says, He thrust His hand through the latch opening and my heart began to pound for Him. What He did in my disobedience, when I didn't respond to Him like I should have responded to Him. Because let me just tell you, I'm here. How many have not responded to God when He told you? We all have. Come on. How many know we are miserable when we don't respond to God when He told us to respond? That is why I'm more scared of not prophesying, Pastor Terry, than I am of prophesying. I have to respond. I have to respond to Him, Pastor Kevin. And it says, he thrust His hand through the latch opening and my heart began to pound for Him. Because what God wants to do is He wants to create a heart that is pounding for the presence of God, pounding for the anointing, pounding for more, pounding to change culture, pounding for something that is tangible, something is real, not for a title, not for a position, not so that I can look good before my other ministries, but a heart that is actually pounding for the things of God. And when your heart is pounding, you know what you'll do when God says, go out there and get a gomer. Go out there and love someone that's loved by another, that's hurt you, that's betrayed you, that's abandoned you. Go out and love them. Because why? I'm not doing it in my own love. Because my love is weak. My love is frail. My love is conditional. But His love is unconditional. It is not weak. It is strong. It is not frail. And I'm going to access the love of the Father. And when I access the love of the Father, it gives me the passion to say, I'm going to get up. I'm going to get up. I'm going to get up now. Search for the one my heart loves. Let me just tell you, there is no greater pursuit in life than to search for Jesus. There's no greater pursuit. And the problem is sometimes in an organization, we search for political pull instead of a prophetic heart, a heart of a prophet. I can imagine that must put a stain in Jesus' mouth and looks, oh God, you're pursuing the wrong things. Pursue me. Now, church, I want to tell you, I wish I could hold you hostage all day and just quote Song of Solomon all day and then cause our brother to come and sing Song of Solomon. And we could just sit here all day in the Word, in the presence of God. But how many say, I want the heart of a prophet? Lift your hands all over the room. Lift your hands all over. I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, all over this auditorium, within the sound of my voice, Lord. Father, what you did 13 years ago, I have never forgotten. I experienced a level of your heart that I never saw before, God. And I'm asking you, God, you are no respecter of person. And Father, just because of experience, it doesn't elevate us to be above other people. But you want every leader within the sound of my voice to have your heart and have the heart of a prophet. Simply because we live in a culture that thinks adultery is okay. They are engulfed in sexual sin. They are engulfed in all kinds of bondage, God. But God, put your anointing on us. Put your word in our mouth and the love of the Father in our spirit right now, God. So that we, oh God, would go on a pursuit just as you have pursued us. Let us pursue this generation. Father, if I pursue ministry before I pursue you, I'm going to be disappointed. I'm going to be majorly disappointed. I'm going to be offended. I'm going to walk around with a chip on my shoulder, God. But if I pursue you above all else, I will have longevity. Let me just tell you, church. Years ago, God had given me a message. When Peter and John were running to the tomb, John writes it about himself. Because the Bible says that John outran Peter. Because love always outruns zeal. Always. John leaned on the breast of the Lord. Because he leaned on the breast of the Lord, he knew his heart. He knew his heart. Put his ear to the heart of Jesus. Not the ear to the heart of an organization, the ear, the heart of Jesus. You know what I have discovered? The organization may fail you because they're human. Human beings fail. Your leaders may fail you. People under you may fail you. But that heart of Jesus will never, never, ever fail. All over this room, just put your hand on your heart, all over this room. Tell him right now, say this after me, Jesus, give me the heart of a prophet. The heart that Hosea had. To love you and to love people. Beyond my own ability. Lord Jesus, burn this truth on my heart. This morning, let my heart pound for you. So I'll get out of my comfortability. I'll get my feet dirty for you. And people may not understand it. They might think I'm crazy. But I'm in love with you, God. I'm in love with your presence. I'm in love with your word. Use me now, Jesus, to redeem humanity. Only with your heart. In Jesus' name. Now just hold your hands out like you're ready to receive. Holy Spirit, just come right now. Come and impart and send your angels up and down the aisles right now. Touching every heart, every leader, every person, every man, every woman right now. By the power of your presence and your glory. And God, I thank you that, Father, you are going to burn. You're going to burn your heart in Hawaii. In this district, We are going to be known for the love of God. We are going to love God. Jesus, I love you. Can you sing that song, my brother, for just a moment? We've got a few more minutes. Just sing that. I'm desperate for you.
And now, I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. So desperate. And I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. And I'm desperate for you.
Love you, Jesus. You may be seated in the presence of God. Please play softly, my brother. How many believe that love is action? I believe that love is not just verbiage. It's action. And the greatest act of love is generosity. My Bible says that a generous soul shall be made rich. So when I look at you, and I know many of you, and some of you, I've been wonderful meeting you. I wish I could sit down with each and every one of you. Just all amazing. You're all so rich. You're so rich. You live in Hawaii. You got to be rich to live in Hawaii. You're really rich. God's really favored you. Really. I mean, how would you like to live in Oklahoma? Hey, it might snow where we're going tonight. It's definitely going to snow when I'm going after Boise. It's going to snow. Definitely. You can get in your car. You don't even have to warm it up. You don't even have to have seat warmers. You're blessed. But here's what I know. Without giving, love is never expressed. It's never expressed. There's always required a sacrifice because, see, Hosea had to give all that he could to redeem Gomer. He had to love all that he could. It required action, not just emotion. When I tell my wife I love her, I have to show it by action. I can say it verbally, but I have to show it by letting her sleep in and not turning my music up too loud, because she did tell me it's too loud. Turn it down. We can hear it in the hallway. I've had security come. These guys, you know, get caught up in worship. You don't know, you know. You think everybody wants to worship at Hilton. That Bose speaker, man, it's about this big. But here's what we need to do. Tonight, this afternoon, this morning, we need to sow a seed. We need to sow the seed, the biggest seed that we've sown. I know that this conference was, there was an entry fee. There was a, there, and it wasn't cheap compared to other conferences. But I don't think that Hilton said, well, because you're prophets, we're going to give this for free. Right? They didn't do that. They took your check, right? They deposited it, right? They didn't throw it back to you. And, you know, I could imagine what this would cost. And there is a certain amount of money that is going to need to cover the expenses of this conference. And what we're going to do is the ushers are going up and down your row to give you an envelope. What I want you to do, if you're writing a check, just add another zero to it. And God will bless you in the millennium. And if you don't have any money, ask Brother Harris. He's really rich, you know. And so, but we're going to do something. We're going to do a prophetic act. Because what I want you to do is, I'm going to come up here. I wish we had more time to share the word and soak in the presence of God. But there's things that have to, we have to move on. Playing to catch, things that have to check out. How many enjoyed that word this morning? Here's what I want you to do. I have discovered that an offering can actually ignite something in my heart, ignite something in my life. That's why when I don't give, because there's something that God wants to do, but when I don't respond to the gift, the giving, I don't respond with the offering, that it sort of hinders me from receiving that. But when I respond, all of a sudden, it unlocks something. And my wife's going to give, and the superintendent's going to give, because they are givers. And I know you're givers too. And I want you to do your very best. Because the secret to a good offering, if everybody does something, if everybody does something, you might say, well, I don't have much. And, well, then borrow it from your neighbor. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah, you can give online at Hawaii AOG. You can do that on your phone right now. But here's what I want you to do. The Bible says that they brought the gifts to the apostles' feet. And I'm going to have the ushers come stand right here. You can just put those baskets right here on the platform. I want you to hold your offering up. I want you to hold your offering up. I'm going to pray for you. And then after I pray for you, what I want you to do is I want you to come up and I want you to put your offering in that basket and just return to your seat. Because we're going to move into a different direction of the service. We're going to be taking communion together and praying. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that I'm speaking in a house full of lovers. Not just workers, but lovers. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that many were willing to get out of bed, willing to become uncomfortable. Sometimes giving is uncomfortable, God. But we're willing to get our feet dirty because we're responding to your request. We want to obey you in all things. We want to give our very, very, very best to you because you gave us yourself, God. And Father, I ask you that you would bless every single giver within the sound of my voice. And I ask you in the name of Jesus that this offering will be used to further your gospel and the work of the Lord right here in the state of Hawaii. I thank you for the leadership, and I thank you for this great churches that are represented here. Father, I ask that you bless every church represented, every leader, more than what they receive from the conference. Come to them. Reveal your heart. Let them encounter you and let them bring a generation into an encounter with God. In Jesus' name, come and bring your offering. Come and bring your offering. Go ahead, my brother. Sing
that
song.
Would you let this be a sacrifice? Let me dedicate my life to worship you. Won't you let this be a sacrifice? Let me dedicate my life to worship you. I'm a lover of your presence. I'm a lover of your presence. I'm a lover.
You stretch forth your hands to these gifts. Lord Jesus, these gifts represent the labor of your people. They weren't coerced to give. They weren't manipulated to give. They gave out of their own heart. They gave cheerfully because they love you and they love the people of Hawaii. And they love this organization. They want to see it redeemed and walk in the fullness. They're committed. They're committed. They're committed to each other, and they're committed to you. So I ask you would multiply it, Lord. Much more than what money could buy. Multiply it that souls will be saved, bodies healed, demons cast out. People set free by the power of your Holy Spirit coming alive. For everyone who is given, may their heart pound for you. More than anything that life can provide, more than any pleasure that life can provide, let them pound for you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Ushers, you can take the offering. Thank you, gentlemen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor Cole.